Well, yes, it is time to talk to the play-by-play voice of the 2022 National Championship Kansas Jayhawks. Brian Haney is with us. And, Brian, I can't imagine the whirlwind of emotions since Monday night. Congratulations to you and the Jayhawks winning a national championship. Can you even sum up how it all occurred and took place, the crazy comeback, and now you guys getting ready for a parade on Sunday?
Sorry for the wind and the rap music. I'm out of practice right now for football because there's no rest for the weary baby. We're turning the page to spring football on Saturday and, as you said, a parade on Sunday. So it's a busy weekend, but an exciting time and a lot to celebrate. And gosh, I think I got about 3 hours of sleep on Monday night / Tuesday morning and kind of running on adrenaline ever since. But we're so blessed. We're so excited about this group and the legacy they've now carved out for themselves. It's amazing to think all the twists and turns this season took and at different times coming on the air with you on a Thursday, talking about what they might be capable of and you know, hoping that we at least get an Elite Eight out of these guys. But the fact that we wind up hanging a sixth banner with this particular group, the way it all came together, not just with their path to the title game, but the fact that they truly did peak when it mattered most. And unlike so many other Kansas teams that play their best ball in February and then kind of fizzle, this one, it was a slow warm-up, you know, slow build. But they got there eventually. And when you think about second half versus Miami, the first half versus Nova, the second half versus North Carolina, that really was as good as any team played in the tournament. And so while people will talk about our path and how we caught some breaks with some injured opponents and that kind of thing, which is all very true, I think you could also point to the fact that when Kansas was at its best, yeah, they played as good a basketball as any, and that's what I'll remember from this group, absolutely.
You know, the thing I'm going to remember about this group, and Brian, when the bracket came out, I said, I don't know if I'm sold on Kansas being a national championship team at the moment. There were signs starting to come around in the Big 12 tournament, but it wasn't too long removed from losing at Fort Worth to TCU. And one of the biggest questions I think we had was, you know, is McCormick going to be consistent enough to win six games? Is Remy going to be able to keep it going all the way through the NCAA tournament? And I think the biggest question I had was, can Kansas play good enough defense to win a championship? That was my biggest concern coming into this tournament. And Kansas raised their level of defensive efficiency. I mean, the first half against Providence was just lights out. Second half against Miami, lights out. Of course, Villanova, very good. And then the second half against North Carolina, everybody's all caught up in, you know, David doing what he did, which rightfully so. Obviously, Christian Brown did some wonderful things, no question. Jalen Wilson, Remy hit shots. But to me, and you and I talked about this the very first time we talked, Brian, about this squad before the season even began, you told me that DeJuan Harris was the only guy that didn't lose any kind of scrimmages when they were playing against each other, changing up the lineups. He's Bill Self's security blanket. And it is pretty amazing to me that all these people are paid tons of money to be national pundits that are on CBS, TBS, and wherever else are talking about a whole bunch of things about that win for KU, but never once did I hear anybody talk about DeJuan Harris and his defense on Davis in the second half, because the players said it right after the game. Bill Self mentioned it right after the game. I know you guys noticed it. I noticed it. And I thought DeJuan Harris really set the tone because he absolutely harassed Davis, who I say, you know, Glove's a great player, but Davis is the head of the snake. And I thought KU cut the head off the snake, and that gave them a chance to come back and win.
Yeah, it was a great observation. It was incredible what he did. And I kind of wondered heading in if Love got going like we saw versus Duke with the 22-second half points, if they wouldn't switch Juan to Love, mm-hmm, because Love had two epic games in the tournament. And they did some when Remy was on the floor with Juan, but primarily Juan was on Davis, and you're right, he did a tremendous job. And everybody will talk about, you know, the David McCormick last shots in the final couple of minutes, the Remy Martin spurt before that, the Christian Brown 10 points in a 10-minute span to open the half. But I think about some of the little plays that Juan made around those big buckets that the other guys made. And to me, you know, maybe the best sequence of the game was when we hit a corner three. I believe it had to be Remy.
Yep.
And then they inbound the ball, and Juan just immediately picks the pocket of the Tar Heels, throws it to Wilson. He gets hit and Juan 6 points in like 12 seconds.
Yep.
And it was as terrific of a momentous swing as you could possibly have at that point. And that's DeJuan Harris at the heart of it, making that play in between the two big buckets that you remember probably a little bit more than the steal, because that's just the way our minds work. But, man, he had so many little moments like that. It really was, you know, both Final Four games, I thought, were examples of total team efforts where you could point to each individual and say, if he doesn't make that play, you know, we don't have this outcome. And so great to see Juan getting some just due out of more than just Coach Self. I appreciate you bringing it up. But, man, there's so many stories we could talk about with all these guys, like I said. And I think one of the biggest stories we've heard the most in the last 48 hours leaving New Orleans is just how bad the media got it wrong on most outstanding player.
Oh, yeah. That was, I couldn't believe that.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's relevant because that's one of the three main criteria in getting your name in the rafters at Allen Fieldhouse. And so there may be some auto correction done by the head coach who in the post game said, well, without taking anything away from Oshai, he said, you know, we need to make this co-MOP. And he put the net they had just cut down around the neck of David McCormick. And then he said the same thing to the 15,000 or so that showed up at the football stadium for the welcome home, that it should have been co-MOP. And Oshai, from the media podium 30 minutes after the game, was telling the media, with all due respect, I would have picked this guy, pointing at David. So it's definitely an interesting deal. But as I understand it, and I was not a part of the voting process, we're on the air, so we don't get to do that. But I had several people tell me that, you know, they had to turn him in with 2 minutes to go. And, you know,
why? Why?
20 minutes of basketball.
That makes no sense. I don't understand. I don't understand the technological world that we live in today, where you can sit an NBA game and you can go to a Royals game. You can go from your own seat or on your phone. You can vote and they can immediately tell you what song to pick out of three that you want to hear during the seventh inning stretch.
Right.
But you can't wait till the game is over. And as soon as the game's over, every media person can like hit a button on their phone or whatever it is to pick the person that's going to be the MOP. I mean, that's just downright silly.
Well, it is, until you know that there was zero Wi-Fi connectivity in there. It was an absolute train wreck. You would think it's a billion-dollar operation that it is. You couldn't get texts or anything to go out. It's crazy.
Wow.
But yeah, I agree with you. You'd think there'd be a better way to do it. What I was starting to say was, of the 120 minutes of basketball that were played in those three games in New Orleans that weekend, the most important 2 minutes of the 120 were the last two, so why we wouldn't include those in the balloting process is beyond me. But then again, they also handed the trophy to the Kansas City Jayhawks.
Yeah, oh yeah, that was
up.
Great.
So
yeah.
It wasn't the only, you know, kind of bungled thing down the stretch, but, you know, what a story for David McCormick. I mean, this is a guy that obviously has been on a roller coaster this season and throughout his career, and probably the most criticized player on social media that I can recall, just because I think the common fan sees a big player, like, and by big I mean physical stature, and they just expect it to come easy because, you know, he's right around the rim and he should just dunk it every time. And there are plenty of instances where he could have been stronger with the ball and dunked it throughout his career, no doubt. That's a fair criticism. But we assume it's easy on these guys. And Bill Self finally, on senior day, you know, kind of opened up about some of the physical challenges that David's been dealing with the foot that was operated on last spring, with a knee that had been swelling up on him, stuff that the common fan didn't know about and Self hadn't let on about, because you didn't want to let your opponents know too much. But, you know, Self always, every year, starts kind of opening up and softening up on these guys when senior day rolls around, because, you know, they've made it through the grind of 4, 5, 6 years with him. And he started to kind of give us a peek behind the curtain of every sacrifice that David had made just to be on the floor each day. And then you start to understand why maybe, you know, some of the inconsistencies made more sense. But go back, Wade, and look at our last month and the five games in which Kansas absolutely had to win. And by that I mean senior day, where we had to win versus Texas to win the Big 12 title. Oshai was 1 of 11, and David goes for 22-10. Then after a quiet start to the Big 12 tournament, as they were trying to rest him and he wasn't super healthy, he emerges on the Big 12 Saturday night versus Texas Tech in our toughest matchup at Kansas City, and again was the great version of Big Dave. And then you go to the Elite Eight, Final Four, the national title game, 15 points, 6 of 7 shooting versus Miami, 25 and 9 versus Villanova, best player, you know, on the floor that day, except for Oshai's threes, of course. And then yeah, you go to the title game, 15 and 10, and he hits the go ahead bucket and the clinching bucket. And I just thought, wow, this is the slam dunk pick of all slam dunk picks.
Oh, me too.
And we couldn't hear as they announced it over the podium. You know, we're doing a live show, and we're trying to listen in and all that. And somebody came back to me and said they picked Oshai. And I'm like, no, you got that wrong. Go back and find out who it really was. It's got to be David. And they're like, no, they picked Oshai. And you know, I love Oshai. Maybe we'll talk about how the game ended in a second when he gave me the hug. But yeah, even Oshai admits it should have been David. And when you understand, for fans that don't, that is how you get up in the Fieldhouse Raptors. That's why we're talking so much about it. So I think there's a decent chance, whether it's through criteria of academic All-American, which would be the fourth and lesser talked about avenue to getting enshrined in the Raptors, or if it's just Bill Self saying, you know what, I'm the guy that's got veto power on this, and we're going to make this happen. He has said that, you know, late in his career, he would be open-minded to amending some of those guidelines, because he thinks guys like Keith Lankford belong up there and several others. And so, hey, David was the best player on the biggest stage in delivering our sixth national title banner, and he's going to get some kind of recognition for that. I hope it's his just due, because he deserves it. And a month ago, we couldn't have fathomed that. But my, oh my, did he ever save his best for last.
Well, I'll make a bold prediction. McCormick's number will be up in the Raptors Allen Fieldhouse. I think that's all but assured at some point or another after what he did. And I think the fact that everybody knows he should have been in MOP makes it almost a slam dunk. Brian Haney, the voice of Jayhawks, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Millen Boulevard, or call them at 738-5701. I know Matt is super excited, of course, of KU winning a national championship. We mentioned Harris. We mentioned McCormick. You know, Christian Brown, what he did in the second half, as you mentioned, attacking the goal, and then his defense on the final play was outstanding. And he didn't buy into the shot fake. That's something Bill Self's been talking to his team, you know, ever since the Miami game. You know, don't go for those shot fakes. Villanova, I thought KU did a good job staying down on those shot fakes. That was huge. Of course, Remy didn't really do anything against Villanova, and then didn't do much in the first half against Carolina with a bank three, but then, of course, hit some really difficult shots. That three he hit with Baycott in his face, and then that left-handed layup that he hit somehow got to go down to the two that stand out to me. He was perfect in the second half from the floor. Jalen Wilson's hustle plays, his rebounding, and yeah, it's frustrating. He missed some layups in the first half, but he stuck with it. And then, of course, Oshai and, of course, Mitch, who always gave him minutes and energy and experience, I think that shouldn't be overlooked as well. And Oshai, a lot of times people get caught up in points, as we were talking about earlier, but Ochai's defense, he made some outstanding defensive plays against North Carolina as well. It ultimately was a team effort. When you look at a box score, Brian, nobody had more than 15 points in the game for either team. And one similarity to this team to the 08 team, and I don't think you should compare the two, by the way, but the one similarity I will point out is I remember Bill Self said, who's your go-to guy, Coach Self, in 08? And he said, it's the open man. And really, honestly, with the way this team, you had All-American, who's your leading scorer in Ochai Agbaji, but in the tournament, it really did come down to the guy that had it going was the guy who had the ball in his hands, whereas Caleb Love might be launching threes and could have passed it to Manic. KU was going, hey, we got McCormick in there and Manic's on him. We're going to give him the ball in crunch time instead of trying to be a hero.
Yeah. And that versatility, that dynamic nature of the offense where you couldn't just focus on one or two guys, I think ultimately was what took this team to a different level. And that started with the emergence of Remy in the postseason. It continued with the consistency of David down the stretch. But you think about it, the last 5 months, when were Remy, Oshai, and David ever hitting on the same night until the very end? And that's where I say, you know, it kind of finally all came together. But think about that game. If you broke it up into chunks, you had the Christian Brown stretch of 10 points in 10 minutes. You had the stretch where Remy took over with 3 second-half threes and the driving finish you're talking about. You had the David McCormick final 2 minutes. And there were other big moments throughout that Jalen had or Oshai had or whatever. But, I mean, there were key junctures where we saw certain guys rise up and take over. And that, to me, is what those true championship-caliber teams that Kansas has had over the years, with the exception of Danny and the Miracles, because Danny was obviously a different case study. But those types of teams were all versatile and dynamic enough that you couldn't just cut off, as you said earlier, the head of the snake. There's, like, four or five heads on the snake, yeah. You know what I mean? And that, to me, made them such a difficult guard and such a really potent offense in the tournament. And that's why those dominant halves, like 47-15 versus Miami, and then you know, it was 30-10 to open the second half versus North Carolina. That's part of what allowed that to be the case.
Well, and the other thing, too, I got to give a lot of credit to Remy Martin. I know it was a frustrating year for him, and everybody, there were a lot of people on social media that were really critical of DeJuan Harris because he didn't score. You know, he's not sexy enough because he didn't hit a whole bunch of threes. Remy's the exciting, energetic guy, but we talked about Harris and what he means to this team. And Remy took on, you know, he was like, hey, I'm cool being the sixth guy, energy off the bench, and he was patient. I'm sure he was frustrated through the whole process. And then on top of that, I think it was great to see Harris and Remy work together. Sometimes they're on the floor at the same time. Sometimes it was Harris that had a hot hand. I mean, you look at Villanova, Harris hits three threes, and Remy has a hard time getting the offense set up against either a zone or a man against Villanova. And Remy had a really not a good game at all, but Harris did his part, and he was the best point guard for KU in the Final Four. Then the championship game, there were stretches where Harris was really good. All of a sudden, Remy takes over in the second half, and I was sitting here at the late in the game going, what do you do if you're Bill Self here? I mean, you got Remy, kind of a mismatch problem defensively against Carolina. If Harris is on the bench, but yet you need offense if it's a tight game or if you fall behind. And I thought Bill Self handled it perfectly, and that's why I'm glad I'm not the head coach and he is, because there was that dynamic of, should I go with Harris? He's the better defender. I got Remy. He's the better offensive player. And the two really worked well together, whether they were on the floor or on the bench cheering on their team. I thought that was a big part, and it usually is, of any key to a championship, and that is chemistry.
Yeah, and this team chemistry is as good as any of the six teams that I've been around since I've been back as voice of the Jayhawks. And Bill Self pointed out how unique a chemistry was of any team he's coached, how genuinely they all loved each other, supported each other. There's no selfishness as to who got the most shots and most points or anything like that. And you don't always have that, but when you're number one leader on the team, the guy that's getting the most ink and hype and defensive attention is the humble superstar that Ochai Agbaji is, you can see how that would trickle down to the rest of the guys and how you had a lot of alphas on this roster, but they weren't selfish alpha dogs. They were the type that understood that this is we over me. And as Coach Self has said since 2008, if you claim the ultimate prize, the pie is big enough for everybody to go around and have a slice. And that's what he means by that, is individual, you know, accolade / individual, you know, profitability in terms of getting drafted and having opportunities beyond here. And so it's going to be interesting to see what this team turns into in terms of NBA attention now. I think the latest mock drafts after Monday night have Ochai in the top 12, Christian Brown still a late first-round pick, and who knows about Jaylen. But I would hope that both Jaylen and CB test the process, but also remember how much life changed for Ochai Agbaji in coming back and having one more year of seasoning. And he's going to be the absolute ultimate example that, you know, everybody compares to, and you can't surpass what he did outside of winning National Player of the Year. Otherwise, he won every award you could win. And so he's the gold standard, not, you know, necessarily something that everybody will realistically be able to achieve, but I think he's what you point to and why sometimes you do come back. So a lot, and you didn't ask the question, but a lot of people have asked me, what do I think is going to happen? I think, you know, obviously, it depends on how the individual workouts go. It depends on the feedback they get. To me, the most likely scenario is that one of those two comes back. The least likely scenario is that both come back. And, you know, the middle scenario, you know, would be that we lose them both. But anyways, I just think that's a product of having a great tournament run.
Well, sure.
and being on the biggest stage and performing as well as they did. And that's okay. You're fine with that.
Yeah, right?
When that happens, that's a small price to pay. And we got three Mickey D's guys coming in next year that'll help restock the shelves. But what a run for them. And as we opened by saying in this response, it's a product of great team chemistry and buy-in. And that, to me, you know, I've been covering Kansas basketball for over 20 years. There's only a handful of teams that I thought were like truly elite level chemistry. They're all good, but I mean elite level team chemistry, putting others above yourself, no ego, no agenda individually of hunting numbers or shots. And this team was the quintessential example of that, as good as I've been around. And so it really shouldn't come as a surprise that they achieved as much as they did.
Wilson can test the waters again. I know there used to be a thing where you tested it once, but can you now just test it each and every year if you want to and decide to come back if you don't sign with the agent?
Yeah, I think he can now, but I'll reserve full comment on that until Bill talks about
sure.
it. A lot has loosened up in the last year or so on that. But, yeah, that's going to be a tough one, though, because I think in his mind he thinks he's ready. And maybe he is, but I think there's some things that he could be more consistent with the jump shot. They're going to have to be more consistent because he's not going to be able to do some of the same things against pro athletes that he was against collegiate athletes.
Right.
So that's a guy that really, I think, could benefit from one more year to show off everything in the bag of tricks and hone some of those other skill sets that are going to be necessary as he makes that transition to the next level.
Two more things for you before we get to the off the wall. The hug and Bill Self's legacy. So let's start with the hug. The game ends, and Ochai celebrate, and all of a sudden he spots you guys, you and Greg Gurley, and I've seen the video and I've heard the call, and you guys did a wonderful job, by the way. And it comes over, and you guys embrace, and I was like, that tells you that how connected this team is, even with their basketball announcers. I thought that was pretty sweet.
Well, thanks for bringing that up. Yeah, that was special. I'll cherish that moment for the rest of my life. And he's just, one of the best human beings that I've seen achieve that kind of success and yet stay so humble and grounded. Patrick Mahomes is another example. And I don't get to see Pat but once or twice a year now. But, those guys that have these meteoric rises to fame and superstardom, and yet they remember how they got there, and I think with Ochai, it all starts with Erica and Alofu, his parents, and he and I come from similar stock when you talk about, great families that raised you the right way and were supported throughout, and I think that he's been the byproduct of that. So we've bonded over a lot of things the last 4 years, but being cut from a similar cloth of uber-positive, glasses more than half-full type guys, I think is how we initially hit it off. But that meant a lot, and the quick, really funny backstory is that he had apologized for forgetting to give us any love on Senior Day, which he doesn't need to. No player ever really has when it comes to the radio crew. But he had made a point in his mind to give us a shout-out, and then he was facing the bench area and where the players were lined up on Senior Day, and we're behind him, and it just slipped his mind. And so he sought me out afterwards, like 30 minutes after the game, and said, "Brian, I'm so sorry. I completely forgot." And I'm like, "Dude, you don't have to apologize for that. Like, I didn't expect anything." And so it's just kind of funny how it came about. I don't think he set out to hug us first or whatever. I just think he kind of got spun around and was looking for a familiar face to go celebrate with him, and he saw us. And after he slapped Greg the high five, I was pointing at him like, "You the man." And so he just bent over and reached down. And
yeah,
it's funny. If you listen to the call, he hugged the air right out of me. So
yeah, I heard
funny,
that.
but it's raw and it's real and it's as good of a moment as you could possibly ever have.
Well,
as far as Self's legacy, one of 16 coaches now with two NCAA championships. And before this week, you could say greatest regular season dominance and consistency of any player in his generation, but needed to win another one to kind of back it up. Because when you're on the one line 10 out of 19 years, he'd be the first to tell you, you want to get to more Final Fours, you want to win more titles. And so the fact that he got it with this particular team, which not many would have forecast a month ago, certainly not after the losses in Waco and Fort Worth, speaks to what a tremendous coaching job this has been. And we don't have time to dive into it now, but if you look at the composite recruiting rankings of seven guys in this rotation, a lot of them were ranked north of 100. And yet this is the group that cut down nets. So you talk about coaching and player development, player buy-in, it's off the charts. And so this will be one of the finest feathers in his cap as to why he was truly, one of the top three in his generation. And hopefully it's a springboard for tacking on title number three and title number four for him, because now you get that momentum back. Hopefully you get out from underneath the NCAA investigation stuff and start recruiting again like they were for the bulk of his tenure. And then look out. They could be off to the races from there.
No doubt. It's been a fun week. Monday winning championship, of course, celebration on Tuesday at the football field. Then the parade coming up on Sunday at 2 o'clock there in downtown Lawrence. And, of course, the spring football game taking place on Saturday. So lots going on with KU Athletics. Certainly. Time for off the wall question for the play-by-play voice of the national champion Kansas Jayhawks, Brian Haney. I don't know if I've asked you this question before, but I think it's appropriate right now. There were so many people, and you know how people are superstitious, so many people that I know, they're KU fans on social media, talked about at halftime, they changed their shirt, they changed their wardrobe, they watched the game in a different room, they turned the TV off, then turned it back on. Miller, as you know him, my oldest, he said, he looked at me at halftime or a little after halftime, and he said, hey, you know, it's the first time I've actually been wearing a KU shirt during the tournament. And I was like, yeah, it's okay. He didn't go change. He's not nearly as superstitious as others. He kept it on, and guess what? That's why they won the championship, because he kept that shirt on, of course. It's only weird if it doesn't work is the whole motto. But what about Brian Haney? You know, is there anything that you were doing differently at halftime of this game to change things in the second half? Or do you believe in superstition? And if so, do you have a certain superstition that you use or practice or something that comes to mind, you personally?
Well, the thing that I always have to do off the air in the broadcast during every single game that's even remotely close is at some point in the second half, I turn to Greg Early and off the air say, are we going to win? And 99 times out of 100, he always says yes, and probably with about 87% accuracy, he's right. But it's a reassuring, calming thing that my big brother, who's about 6 years my elder, says, oh, yeah, we're going to win. We got this. And I can usually, you know, based on his level of immediate, decisive, yes, we're going to win, I can see just how convinced in his answer he actually is. I didn't ask him at halftime this time because it was a little too early. By the time we got to the under-16 timeout, and it was already cut down to 8 points, about to be seven when Jalen completed the three-point play, I asked him, oh, yeah, we're going to win by eight. And so he sensed it already. But that's kind of our tradition. That's kind of our superstition. And it definitely has been a calming thing for me. But I felt okay at the half. I ran into a couple of people backstage, and they said, what do you think? And I said, you know what? It may take the whole half, but we're going to claw our way back. 5 points every 5 minutes, and let's see where it's at the under four timeout. Well, it was like 7.5 minutes off the clock, and we're down one.
Yeah.
And Caleb Love's got a sprained ankle, and Leaky Black's in foul trouble, and it's like, we got this. This is crazy, and it's only been 7.5 minutes. So happened quicker than we thought, but, man, it was special, and hopefully this is one that, as I said, opens the door to several more now that Kansas is turning the corner on all this investigation stuff and back where they belong as one of the prominent teams competing for national titles every year.
Absolutely. Man, have fun this weekend and enjoy the parade on Sunday. We'll talk to you again next Thursday, and you go get some sleep, okay?
All right. Thanks, brother. Appreciate it.
Thanks, man. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, and he is always brought to you here on a Thursday on the Sports Ticket by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Millen Boulevard, or call them at 738-5701. Brian Haney, the play-by-play voice of the 2022 National Championship Kansas Jayhawks, our guest today on the Ticket.